Before you get to 1 Timothy chapter 6, look at Isaiah. And Isaiah, I think it's 57. I'd like you to look at this scripture. 65. Look at this scripture. I'm going to read it. That he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth, and he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten and because they are hid from mine eyes. Put that same scripture up there in the Amplified. I just want you to see the beginning of that same scripture. What? 65 and 16? What did I say? I didn't say. Okay. 65, 16. Is that the Amplified or? Okay. And it shall be that he who invokes a blessing on himself in the land shall do so by what? Saying. You can bless yourself. You can bless yourself. All right, let's go back to 1 Timothy, please. 1 Timothy chapter. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 6. You with me? All right, we're talking about faith. And we're looking tonight at the fight of faith. I think we talked about that before, but let's look at it again, because I need this teaching myself. Look what it says in verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith, and lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. All right? Fight the good fight of what?
Faith.
All right? So whether you like it or not, or whether you're conscious of it or not, you're in a fight. Right now. Okay? And the warfare that you're in, you were born into it. You were born. It's not necessarily anything you did. You were born into it. Jesus, as you know, he was born into warfare. And the battle does not mean that you've missed God. In fact, Jesus had a battle most of his earthly life he started his ministry especially. But many times it's because you're in the will of God. So Jesus fought every step of the way, from birth to the cross, he fought. So he never missed God one time.
Amen.
Jesus did.
Amen.
But he had a fight. So let's go back to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. If you're going to advance the kingdom, you're going to have a fight. But you got to know that you won in a fight. And the enemy is so deceptive until a lot of people don't know they're in a fight. They think things just happen that way. It didn't just happen that way. That was the devil trying to destroy the progress that God wants you to make and establishing his kingdom. Verse 35, the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, the waves beat into the ship, so it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, he was asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said to him, Master, don't you care that we are perishing or about to die? And Jesus, He arose and rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Peace be still," and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea do what? Obey him." Now, let me ask you, did they obey him? Okay, what did they obey? His faith. Okay, he was saying, why are you? Because they could have said it, but it didn't obey them. So it had to obey somebody who was walking by faith, somebody who released their faith. And Jesus was doing that. And then he came to them and said, well, why is it that you have no faith? So this situation was not designed to strengthen them. It was designed to destroy them. And it was not, many times your situations are not designed to make you stronger. You know what I mean? And so that's what people say sometimes. Now, God will use that to bring you up to another realm of strength, of wisdom, so forth and so on. But the enemy uses it to try to stop you. So now Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Now, whose suggestion do you think that was? How did he get that notion to go to the other side? He came, got it from the Father, because now they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And that's a way that we can never make a mistake, is to be led by the Spirit of God. You need to slow down sometimes. Don't act so quickly. Slow down and give God a chance to talk to you. Sometimes you got to quiet your flesh down so you can hear God. Am I right about it? And that is a way to never make a mistake. Now, so this happened to them. Now, in this, the faith, let's go to a couple more places. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. All right, let me know when you get there. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, all right. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are what? Not carnal, but mighty what? Through God to the what? Pulling down of strongholds. And doing what else? Casting down, come on, imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I'll just stop right there. So we're going to war all right, but we're not going to war with natural weapons. Hold on just a minute here. Don't you try to get away from me. Glory to God in heaven. We're not going to war with natural weapons. Oh, come on now. Wait. Just a minute here. Okay, there it is, praise God. Now, I'd like you to submit to you some things tonight that I think will help you tremendously, because as I discover them, they're helping me. It says here, you don't fight with natural weapons. So God, the devil that you're up against is not an intellectual devil. So you can't figure out in your natural mind how this is, you're going to get the victory in this. But notice, God needs faith to come in to your situation and apply his ability so that whatever is troubling you, you can deal with to not trouble you any longer. All right. I'm just turning you to some scriptures and talk about it. All right, let's go first to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. All right. Now, I want you to believe what I teach tonight. Say, I'm a believer and not a doubter. Look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the who? Lord. And in the power of whose might? His might. Now, just what I said now, it's his ability on your behalf. being used. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. The wiles are subtleties. And many times you can't normally figure out how what's happening here. It's almost like you need the wisdom of God or revelation to be able to see these things. Because without revelation, many times you just conform to the world. You start beating the air. Look what he said in verse 12. For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness, where? In high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in that evil day. And having done all to stand, what do you do? Stand therefore. All right, let's just stop right there. So we're going to wrestle, but we're not going to wrestle against flesh and blood. Now, there was a testimony when I came in, and she gave a testimony. And she gave a testimony, and I liked that testimony because it was central to what I'm teaching here tonight. And I was back there in the back, and I sent out Robert. I said, hey, tell Pastor Barnett to take one testimony. That's all. And she gave that one. And that one was the one I needed. It was the one. Now, I'm being led by the Lord when I tell her that. So she was saying that there was apparently, I'm trying to reconstruct the testimony now, there was apparently somebody who was sick or something like that and needed a liver transplant, kidney transplant. And liver, okay, well, something in there. And as soon as she prayed, something was done. Am I right about it? Now, I want you to see this because this, again, these are revelations and they're not obvious to the person who's just reading this. But Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And there was immediately a great calm. Now, he didn't wait on this storm to pass. Now, I want you to get this because there is a scripture that I want to see here because you're wrestling not against flesh and blood. Now, the thing that you see in the natural really is not the thing that's causing you the problem. It's what's behind the thing. Got it? Now, let's go to Matthew's gospel. And Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. Matthew, chapter 9. Over in Matthew, chapter 9, I'm going to have to speed up, praise God. And look at verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, what? Have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, a blind man came to him, and Jesus said to them, Believe ye that I'm able to what? Do this. So the first thing you gotta know is believing and faith are two different sides of the same coin. That if either one of the sides is missing, it's a counterfeit coin. So it won't work if you believe and don't have faith. Then, or if you have faith and if you say you have faith and don't believe, it won't work. You need both. For the coin to be legitimate, for it to spin and bring you what you need. So I'm saying the first thing you ask him, do you believe? And you know in that scripture when it talks about whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things that he said shall come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he said. So the believing has got to be there. I've got to believe this. I've got to wholly trust in it. And then it says this, verse 29, then touched he their eyes and said, according to your what? Faith, come on, be it unto you. And their eyes were open. Now, it's according to your faith. So what do you have faith for? And many times what we've had faith for is an endurance of battles that we're in, that we are in this thing for the long haul, meaning that I'm not talking about your ability to endure. I'm talking about how long the battle's supposed to last. Because I didn't see any battle last with Jesus. And he's my role model now, but I didn't see this thing for days and days and my marriage problem from days and days. I'm not talking about me too, I'm sweet now. I'm sweet with you. And so forth. I didn't see that. I didn't see that. But if that's where your faith is, if that's what you believe you're going to have to endure, that's what you will get. That's what, and what we got to do is we got to remember that faith is a higher law than time is. Time was given by God to serve you, not to judge you. It not to control you. You are the master of your faith. I know God is a God, but he's put your faith in your hands. He's already decided who you're going to be. Now it's up to you to walk it out by faith. Now, let's deal with this a couple of times because faith. How big is your faith? Let's look at Matthew chapter 8 real quick. And this is when the centurion, verse 5, and when Jesus was entered to Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him. He said, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy. He's grievously tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Now he's going to come to the house. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. Just speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I'm a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to one man, go, and he goes. Another come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. And Jesus heard it. He marveled. Now, to make Jesus marvel, you're going to have to do something. And said unto them that followed, verily I say to you, I have not found so what kind of faith? Great faith, no, not in Israel. Look at verse 13. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. As thou hast what? Believe, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed when? The self same hour. All right? Now, did Jesus have to go to the house? Did Jesus have to go to the hospital room? Did Jesus have to, according to this man's faith, Jesus didn't have to do anything but speak the word where he was, release the word, because there is no distance in the spirit. And once he released the word, the child was healed. Miles away. Say amen to that. Amen. Now, let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, please. Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. I said, it's according to your faith, be it unto you. Look at Mark, chapter 5. And in Mark, chapter 5, look what it said in verse 22. Jesus came, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall what? Live. That's the level of his faith. That's his faith. That's according to his faith. His faith said, you come to the house. And you lay your hands on her and she shall be healed. So notice it seems like God's ability is based on the limit of your faith. If you need him to come to the house and physically do something, he'll come to the house. But if you can just take it from right here and believe that the word alone, say amen to this. Now I want you to see this because the enemy is trying to make you think it's up to God. It's not up to God. God has already decided what he's going to do. And it's up now to you. And there are things trying to tempt you or make you leave a level of faith that God wants you to have so that you can get every promise that he has for you. He said, come to the house. He said, you got to come to the house. Now, look at verse 24. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him, and he thronged him. And the certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better but rather grew worse, when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his what? Clothes, come on, I shall be whole. Look at the level of her faith. Her faith says, I got to find the man of God, and I got to touch his clothes. Because if I can just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. I'm just letting you see this. It's not according to God. It's according to your faith. So I'm here to tell you that what God has for you, Lord have mercy, I had some more things for you. What God has for you is based on your faith. God has already decided to heal you. As a matter of fact, he sent Jesus to the cross to heal you. But I want you to notice in this woman's case, no longer should you be the victim of a scientific verdict. No longer should you be the victim of a scientific verdict. You no longer do you let technology tell you where you can go in terms of your destiny. Say amen to that. I know what the machine said, but what did God say? And I'm telling you, your faith can make you whole. Now, in this, Jesus, of course, she touched his clothes, and straightway the fountain of blood was dried up. She knew in her body she's healed that plague. Verse 34, and he came to her, said, daughter, what? Did he say God's power? Did he say the hem of my garment? No. He said, her faith has made thee whole. Go in peace now and be whole of thy plague. In each one of these cases, people may have had an illness or a malady for quite a while. But all of a sudden, when faith was involved, it gave them a right now deliverance. All right, let's keep going with this. Praise God. Now, in this, all right. I think I better show you one or two more instances of that. Let's see how much time I've got here. All right, I want to put this down in your spirit, because I think what happens is you and I have come from a world that we had been programmed to believe it takes a while. But once you come into the kingdom, it's a right now. It can happen. Say amen to that. It can happen right now. And I think we need to set our faith for that. Let's go to another place. Let's go to, since we're over the mark, let's go to Luke, if you will. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. This is all good stuff. Luke chapter 18, glory to God. See, the church is supposed to be envied, not pitied. We're supposed to be the people that people want to be like. I'm talking about these court cases that are dragging out. We're supposed to put an end to this. That costs a lot of money to drag these court cases out. And that's a trick of the enemy to keep us under the control of that system. But we can't get any more than we believe. Verse 1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always pray and not faint, saying, there was a city and a judge which feared not God and neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I feared not God nor regard man, but because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she what? She weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? though he belong with them, I tell you that he will avenge them how? Speedily. Let's go over to Acts, please. Acts chapter 13. No, Acts chapter 12. All right, this is when they had killed James, and now Peter was in prison because they're all preaching the gospel now, and the enemy's trying to stop them. And look at verse 5. And Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains. And the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he said unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and did what? Followed him. And was not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, or the watchman, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which openeth unto them of its own accord. And they went out and passed on through the street, and forthwith the angel departed from them. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety." My Bible is so marked up. I got to change Bibles, but folks, I got good stuff in this Bible. I just need to change this thing. The Lord has sent, but I got to do it by faith, don't I? It just came to me right then. And the Lord has sent, but I'll do it later. Now the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. Now notice, they went around a total system. The system, that court system, they went around the jail system, that they went around all of that. And they didn't even go to the prison. What did they do? They prayed, and who went to the prison? The angel went to the prison. I'm just saying according to our faith now. That's all I'm saying. Verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, and where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, the damsel came to hearken, named who? Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, "Oh, you out of your mind." No, it says thou art mad, but I'm telling you what it says. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were what? Astonished. All right, now I'm saying it's according to your faith. Now I have a feeling, this is me now, that a lot of these people were praying, but they weren't praying in faith. Rhoda prayed in faith, and she was done with it. Now, there's nothing wrong with all-night prayer, but they didn't need to pray all night. I'm telling you now, folks, sometimes what we're doing is we're filtering into our faith our feelings. We're putting this human side and mixing a little bit of the natural ability into faith. And what it's doing is it's contaminating our faith. It's basically fear. And it's contaminating our faith. And as a result of that, we're not seeing the faith operate like it's supposed to. Faith contaminated. Fear tolerated is faith contaminated. All right, now let's go to the last one. So here, let's go to Mm. Oh Lord, hallelujah. How wonderful is thy name in all the earth. All right, let's just go to the last one. Let's go to Acts, please. Acts chapter 19. Let's sit through there. Chapter 19. It's according to your faith. I said it's according to your faith. Amen. What kind of faith do you have? See, I'm just saying, what kind of faith do you have now? And sometimes people get emotional, and when you get emotional, it does something to your faith. Now, emotions can be used to anchor your faith, but a lot of times people mix feelings in with their faith, and it doesn't work like it's supposed to. Now you got to be in a battle all day long and all night. What happened to David when he came to the front line? How long had Israel been in that battle? 40 days. What did David say to Goliath? Right up in here now. I'm telling you, the tendency that we have is to try to put our human ability on God and say that if we can't do this, God can't do this for us. And what we need to do is do what I call breakthrough thinking. We've got to let our minds go on up and let the Spirit of God teach us how quickly God can do this. How you follow what I'm saying? God can get that marriage situation fixed just like that. Oh boy, that didn't get it. God, are you following what I'm saying? And there's nothing wrong with waiting on Him, but sometimes we make waiting, we make it our standard. Well, we got to wait on everything. You don't have to wait on payday. You can get paid tonight. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, I'm only saying that because I think I'm kind of in a battle right now, and time is against me. But see, time's supposed to be working for me. Am I right about it now? Come on now. I'm not. That's what the woman said. The woman said, "You can't do anything for this man called Lazarus, because his body is decomposing." Jesus said, "Roll away the stone. You don't know who I am." He said, "I am the first and the last. I am the resurrection." Resurrection is not a time, it's a man. I'm him. I'm the resurrection. Roll away. He said, "Lazarus." Now notice his body had to be put back together, and whatever killed him had to be healed.
Yes, sir. That's right. Yes, sir.
But Jesus had the nerve to say the things that he did, you can do too. I told you when that lady came to me, she came to me after I finished preaching down there in Fort Worth. She came in the hall, she was crying, and the usher said, "Pastor, the lady wants to see you." I said, "Okay." I said, "What is it?" She said, I believe we can raise my brother from the dead," or whoever he was. I said, "Okay." I said, "All right, praise God." I said, "Now, where is he now? Is he in the funeral home or the morgue or something?" She said, "No, he's been dead for 3 weeks." I said, "Oh." Now, notice, it's according to your faith.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Somehow we're putting the brakes on faith.
Yes, sir. Come on. Yes,
sir. And I'm asking you to release the emergency brake, take your foot off the pedal, and mash the accelerator. Get out there as far as you can get out there and say, "My faith is going to deliver me." Say amen to that. So you go and look in the Old Testament. Look how David fought his battle. Look at Jehoshaphat. He was in a battle for I don't know how long. But notice when he got together with God and so forth, or King Hezekiah, he was in a battle and so forth. And they were in that battle. But he sent a word to get a word from the prophet named Isaiah. Isaiah sent a word back saying, "You'll not be able to need to fight this battle. Battle is not even yours. The battle is going to be the Lord's." I think we got to be strong in the Lord. I think many times we're trying to take it in our own strength. We have watered down our faith and not believing that God will do this. But we got to believe with God all things are possible. And listen, whatever you're going through now, Labashata, This message is for you. It's saying that God is going to cut off the delay that's in your life right now. Tonight, he's cutting it off. I want you to receive it right now. That has been delayed in your life, it's now being released. This is it. You don't have to wait any longer, hold faith any longer. I'm telling you, your faith has worked, and it's time for it to manifest immediately. Folks, we've been working with this, trying to make it happen. It's time for us to put our faith together right now. Anybody in here who has been waiting on something to come through, we're going to join our faith together and command Satan to release it now. I heard that in my spirit. Some of you got husbands, some of you got jobs, some of you got money, some of you got healing, some of you got houses, some of you got businesses, some of you got ministries, some of you got marriages. Whatever it is, it's being released now. We pull down that strong man, that enemy that's been causing the storm to delay your travel. We're pulling it down now in Jesus' name. Hey! Say this with me, Satan. I command you in Jesus' name, release my property, my promise right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now give the Lord a shout for it and let it come on in. Now, let me show you what I was going to show you. Just put it up there on the board for me. Put up Acts chapter 19 and verse 15. And this is the evil spirit that jumped on them and these people who really didn't know Jesus, and he jumped on them and so forth. But this is what the spirit said. The evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. Wait a minute. I'm telling you what the Spirit of God told me to put in there. And you, I know. See, that's it. That's it. That evil spirit knows who you are. He knows you have the authority to pull him down. Now give God a praise. That's all we have for tonight. Now there's an evil spirit, and it was a king of Syria that was holding up money that was supposed to come to God's people. He is the strong man. His name is Ben-Hadad. So we gonna pull Ben-Hadad. And we're not going to be dealing with no imp demons, no private first class. We're going to be dealing with the ruler, the principality, the master spirit. Ben-Hadad, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pull you down now in Jesus' name. Thou art loosed. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Take your seats, please. Hey. Erebesita-ta-ta. Woo. See, we followed the anointing tonight. We were flowing in the Holy Ghost tonight. We were being led by the Spirit tonight. Because God wanted us to get our stuff back. It was a release. This is your jubilee. This is your time. This is what's been stolen is coming back now. Woo-wee. Woo, sit down again. And I'm telling you, that's why I had to preach. Elevashete. Oh, 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 woo! 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 Hey! Sit out now to be kept in this mission. Sit down, come on, got to do this. You know, this message was from the Holy Ghost. This was from the Holy Ghost. All right, if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, you've never made him Lord of your life, I got news for you. That's the main reason you came tonight.